Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters. Paradigm Shifters, from my perspective, are people who are making a difference on our planet, in the collective of our species, at this wonderful time of the shift. Things are changing all over the world. People are changing. And one of the things that I believe we're headed toward is self-empowerment. So our paradigm shifter tonight is a very exciting gentleman who really helps you empower yourself over your health, over your, would you say, expression, over all kinds of things. Welcome, Robert Bates.
Thank you very much.
Robert Bates is a teacher of Qigong and also a craniosacral.
A craniosacral therapist, mm-hmm. and a non-force chiropractor.
Aha.
But and I also a medical Qigong that, therapist.
Yeah, medical Qigong. I want to know what Qigong is for starters, but I'm really interested in what medical Qigong is.
I think we should start with just what Qigong is, because a lot of people aren't aware of Qigong. And Qigong is one of the most powerful self-healing mechanisms there is, I think. Qigong, first of all, you should know, is spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G.
And you look at it and think, huh?
Qigong.
Yeah.
It's also sometimes spelled C-H-I space K-U-N-G. So that's confusing.
Now, and chi is actually our life force energy, isn't it? Our subtle
there's
energy.
Many different definitions for what chi is, and I've been collecting a lot of these different definitions, different ideas about what it is, different ways of explaining what it is. Mm-hmm. One of my teachers explained qigong as the bridge between matter and spirit. I mean, chi, the bridge between matter and spirit.
Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Yeah. So you have to have, you have the consciousness and you have the matter, but you have to have some force between them that lets them interact.
Mm-hmm.
And so Qigong, in other words, is balancing your mind, your body, and your spirit.
Hmm. And so if we're having big health problems, the qi is actually just blocked, isn't it, or congested?
That's one of the ways to look at it. Basically, any health issue could be looked at as stagnation.
Okay.
So it could be compression in your vertebrae. It could be stuck lymph fluid that's causing a backup.
Could be a boring life.
It could be a boring life. It's often a boring life. too many hours at the office or too many hours watching football. Everything in moderation is also one of the Qigong ideas. So what we want to do with Qigong is use basic breathing methods and movement methods, a little bit of focus, meditation, kind of balance these all together in order to get things moving again, to get things balanced again. That's one of the things we want to do. The other thing we do with Qigong is we use these simple movements in breathing to bring in energy and to nourish our organs, to nourish our spirit, to nourish our fluids like our blood and our lymph, to nourish our brain, things like that.
Tell me this, do you think qi and spirit are interchangeable words?
I don't think so. I think spirit is a focus and a consciousness, but qi is an actual energy of movement.
Okay.
Qi is really about movement and about the body, about physical things moving.
Hmm. Well, I know that Qigong and many of these other Eastern techniques started a long, long time
ago.
They
did. If I could just go back one moment to the qi and spirit question. I was at a seminar one time and there was a Tai Chi master. Now, Tai Chi and Qigong are very similar. Tai Chi has these graceful movements that work with the qi.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very health-giving. But this Tai Chi master said that you should not have qi in your head. You should have spirit in your head.
Oh, interesting.
But in the modern world, especially in America, we all have so much energy, so much qi in our head that we're exploding from the inside out. And so part of what we do in Qigong is relax our brains, breathe into our bellies, and drop the most part of our energy into our lower abdomens.
Oh, interesting. Take it out of your thought process.
Yeah, I think
why do
your
you think
body.
That's like that in our society? Because it's the information age? There's just too much available?
Because we weren't taught how to think. We were taught how to think with our brains instead of with our whole bodies.
Interesting.
And so with Qigong, we relearn how to think. We try to think with our whole body so we have access to our body wisdom, to our subconscious mind, which Candace Pert says is our body.
Right.
And we have access to ancestral wisdom, to like our DNA, and to our cellular wisdom.
Hmm.
We have more access to the wisdom around us, speaking to us from nature, when we're in our body. But when we're in our brain, what we're basically doing is accessing our memories, instead of accessing our presence.
Hmm. So it's the many, many layers of intelligence that we can access better when we get the chi running through.
Access better and feel better doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking with our brain causes all kinds of problems. I mean, we use our brain, yes, but we should use it as a subset as our entire body.
Okay, so if our brain wears us out literally because it mm-hmm. can exhaust us, is this the fountain of youth?
Oh, it's the fountain of more youth. It's a fountain of greater longevity.
And how old, talking about longevity, it is a really old system, isn't it?
Nobody knows how old it is, but it goes back deep into what they can find in the writings in Chinese history.
Mm-hmm.
And there are literally thousands of ancient texts talking about Qigong. And there's one set that's for sure 1,800 years old, and it was in development long before that.
Hmm.
But that's a five animal frolics, and people are still practicing that today.
Hmm. You wonder how it all started, don't you?
There are stories, but I don't think anybody really knows. Some people say it just started with people dancing by the Yellow River in order to kick out the evils that had entered their body from the stagnant, swampy air.
Interesting. So how did you get into Qigong? Were you dancing by the river?
I was not dancing by the river. I was studying at college and taking karate and getting very, very tired.
And getting very tired.
Getting very tired. I'd been an athlete and a student.
What kind of an athlete?
Well, basic American sports, football, baseball, those kind of things. No, not golf. Basketball.
But you were getting tired from the very things that you love to do.
I was. And I'd also done a lot of hard work, working in the woods in the summer and raised on a farm, done a lot of hard labor sort of things. And the work ethic in America was actually making me tired.
Hmm.
And what I learned was I was pushing and using my body to get things done, but I wasn't replenishing my body. And the more I tried to work out, the more tired I got because it was just working. I wasn't also replenishing. So I started looking into different energetic systems like Aikido.
So it's like a process of resistance all the time when people do that, isn't it?
It is resistance, and it's also a draining sort of thing.
Right.
So they're draining their internal organ energy.
Mm-hmm.
You drain your internal organ energy, your brain gets tired, your muscles get tired, your digestion gets tired, and none of it works as good.
So you were just kind of petering out and getting...
I was petering out. I was actually in practice then as a chiropractor and having to take like these long naps and just, what the heck's wrong with me? And But I kept looking. I think a lot of times that's the secret. You just keep looking. You keep trying things. You find something that's working... you try it some more. And so I started hearing and reading about Qigong. And it was not very available back then. It's still not that available, but there's more and more people teaching. There's more and more books and DVDs out there, including mine. So I found Qigong, and I took some Qigong lessons, and I thought, this is really good. It energizes me. I feel good. And yet, while it's simple, there's all this deep wisdom in it, and I can study this the rest of my life and still not learn everything that I can learn that is there to learn in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kept studying. I decided, you know, I'm going to devote myself to this. Got to choose something.
Was it a huge process to get from being a sports playing and karate playing chiropractor over to being a Qigong artist?
No, it was just a little shift because so much of Qigong is about gentle movement and about movement. And I'd been training in movement my entire life, you know, playing sports and doing karate forms and things like that. And I just transformed that idea of doing all these different moves in a more violent way to a softer way. And I still do. I do forms, and some of them are very complex. They're not usually the ones I teach to beginners, but I enjoy doing them sometimes. And it's really interesting intellectually while energizing physically.
What do you mean interesting intellectually?
Well, one of the things about the Chinese internal arts like this, the movement arts, is there's many different things to pay attention to, many things to learn about, like physiology and energy flow and energy structures and body posture. And so the more I learn about the body, the better my Qigong is. And the better I learn Qigong, the better I am at working with the body.
Well, it's interesting because isn't it, you work with meridians, it's the energy flows in the body that you're releasing, is that right?
Actually, there's so many different energy flows. Meridians are the ones people hear a lot about, but really every structure of the body has its own flows. The bones have wonderful flows.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the joints of the bones are called the energy gates of the body.
Hmm.
There's flows through the fascia, which are the membranes that wrap around lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
There's blood flows. And one of the great things that Qigong works, when you do the slow type of Qigong, most mm-hmm. of it's pretty slow, is it moves the lymph in the body.
Hmm.
So if you do like a 3 to 4 second inhale and a 3 to 4 second exhale, and then time your movements with your exhales, what happens is all of the lymph in your body starts pumping very slowly but powerfully with a much better quality in a way that it wasn't before.
Hmm.
So you all of a sudden have greatly increased your immunity. At the same time, you feel really relaxed and really whole.
So the lymphs are for the immunity? I mean, explain
to me. A big part of what the lymph is cleaning the body of detritus.
Okay.
Cleaning the body of broken cells and cancer cells and toxins that you've absorbed. But what it also
from our society.
There's so many toxins out there in our food and in the air and in our cars and wherever else in our paint, and so we have a bigger job these days to clear out. So we need Qigong even more
mm-hmm.
than they did in the past, I think. And so the lymph actually, one of the things it does is it turns on the healing forces of the body.
Mm-hmm.
It turns on the parasympathetic nervous system,
okay.
which is a part of the nervous system that heals and helps digestion. It's a part of the nervous system that slows down. So I think of parasympathetic like parachute. When the parachute comes out, you slow down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's safe.
What blocks the lymphatics? And I had a wonderful healing session with you the other day. It was absolutely... I won't forget it, is what I'm going to say. And yet your work was really just a very subtle touching, but there were flows moving inside
yes.
my body and between organs. And
yes.
what is it that stifles the movement of that energy in our body?
Any contraction
okay.
of a muscle, of a bone, can stop the lymph. Mm-hmm. Also, the lymph can just get a little tired and get a little confused. It can get... One of the things that stops the lymph is it's cleaning out too much stuff.
Okay, so it gets overwhelmed? It
gets overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can go and gently help it along. In Qigong, we do that by things like shaking, gently shaking up and down for a few minutes. And it helps just loosen up where it's stuck so it can start working again. It's like a stream that's full of sticks, and so it's backing up. You pull some of those sticks out, and the stream can flow again, and from there it will help clean out the rest of the sticks.
Yeah, I have to say that I went to one of your classes and it was great. You did 5 minutes of shaking, which was just standing in one spot and loosening your legs, your arms, your shoulders, and just shaking. And people were all shaking. I've done that since each day. And boy, it really sends a vibrance through the body, doesn't it?
You feel vibrant afterwards. You just sometimes will have a buzz. I've done that for up to 20 minutes at a time.
Really?
It's a great... safe way to help your health.
It really seems very simple, doesn't it?
It does, and I usually use that at the beginning of class because I like it as a warm-up and as an entry point into some of the more internalizing energies. So in Qigong, you want to start with a warm-up and then do some clearing work before you start doing adding.
Is the shaking clearing? Or?
Yes, it's a clearing and it's a warming up.
You know, I'm really interested as an intuitive about how we absorb one another's energy. And
mm-hmm.
if you want to authenticate, you have to find techniques for separating enough to really be yourself. Does that work that way?
How do you mean?
Well, it seems like just doing the shaking and doing the tapping all over your body, it seemed like each person was more present in her own, there were only women there that day, in her own energy, in her own authentic energy space. I thought that was a rather simple way
just to get
style.
What's not you out of you.
Yeah, I really liked it, actually.
Yeah, a lot of people just do that. I had one student, she had a decision to make about a vacation, and she's all worried because it was the middle of winter, and what kind of clothes would she wear, and it was all this stuff that was just stopping her. So she just stood up and started shaking because she remembered what I said, when in doubt, shake. So she shook. And then all of a sudden, the answers came to her and she knew how to solve her little problem and the vacation was great.
And I would probably want to say, I'll bet you all kinds of other people's ideas are flitting around as little energy tools before that. And
the ideas that aren't your ideas.
That aren't your ideas.
Right.
That's right. That
exactly.
So our thought lymphs get blocked, don't they?
Indeed they do. And so they take us out of our authenticity.
Well, you know, and the first time we talked, we were talking about how medical coverage could save a fortune in medical coverage.
Yeah, that's one of the ideas that I think is maybe the biggest idea here. Our medical system is so vastly bloated and expensive.
It's expensive, yes.
Even if it was wonderful, it's still expensive. Even if it didn't cause problems by over-treating and doing surgery when you shouldn't do surgery and over-drug use and all that sort of stuff. Just putting that aside, it's still so expensive. Qigong is so cheap. I mean, for a few dollars, you can take a lesson, you can buy a video, you can get a few books, you can get together with a few people. I'll tell you how cheap it is. For the last 7.5 years, every Thursday morning, I get together with a training partner, and for 2 hours, we do Qigong.
Hmm.
And it doesn't cost us anything except gas.
Hmm.
One day, I go to his house. The next week, he comes to my house.
Wow. Can you tell us any stories of people or yourself or your friend that had any healings that are kind of a...
A lot of people have some interesting healings, and some of them are more subtle than others. But a lot of them are like just a clarity of mind mm-hmm. that happens when you clear your body out, understanding what you need to do in terms of something. But then there are people with shoulder healings.
Mm-hmm.
And different kind of pains that'll go away. A lot of people are doing work with my insomnia Qigong, which I learned from a guy named Jerry Allen Johnson, who's a Qigong master.
Yeah, I was following those. I was practicing
yeah.
with them on your website.
I've had a number of people get rid of their insomnia by doing those practices.
Mm-hmm. And they're really easy, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. They're really easy to do, and they're on my website. They're on video. I've had people with sinus congestion do something called the white butterfly and make the sinus congestion go away.
What's the white butterfly like?
The white butterfly is a standing exercise where you cross your hands in front of your face in a certain way and you hold it and you let the energy run through the meridians, the lung and large intestine meridians.
So you posture so the energy flow will be directed, is that it?
You direct the energy first into your sinuses, then into your throat, and then into your chest, and you hold each one for about a minute.
Hmm.
You can do it lying down. It's pretty easy.
Have you ever been, this is a pretty loaded question, I guess. Have you ever been really ill since you started doing it?
I have been really ill, but not in the last 6 years. The last time I was sick was in 2004 when I was in Italy.
Hmm.
Since then, whenever I felt a cold coming on, I stop and do a bunch of Qigong.
You do, eh? So what do you do for a cold?
Well, one of the best things for a cold is a set called Hunyuan Qigong.
Okay.
And it's slow, rhythmic Qigong that really moves the Qi through the torso and the arms and the legs and the whole body. There's 12 different movements.
Hmm.
And so I actually put together a set that's kind of a truncated version of that and added healing sounds to it.
Okay.
And I call it Qigong for preventing colds and flu.
Oh, wow.
And that's
what
I do.
Is it on your website?
Some of it's on my website, but not the whole thing.
Okay.
But that's what I do. And so what happens if I'm sick or I feel like I'm tired and I'm getting run down, I'll stop and do that for about 10 minutes or 15 minutes until I feel my hands warm up and feel my breathing slow down and feel some shift in my torso. It's like, oh, it's not fluttery. It's more smooth. And then a couple hours later, I'll do it again.
Hmm.
And then a couple hours later, I'll do it again. And usually by the third time, I'm feeling fine.
Hmm.
So far, that's worked for me. It took me a while to learn how to drop into my organs and actually be inside my organs when I'm doing the Qigong. Really feel the connection between my lungs and my liver or in my kidneys and that kind of thing. And know when it's really blocked. And once you get that feeling, you can know how to do the Qigong to make it work for you.
So then you know when you practice. I mean, you're doing a daily practice, right?
Yeah, I have a daily practice.
So you know when your daily practice is actually cleaning out the heart congestion or stagnation.
Yes.
You know that?
Yeah.
Do you have, because I was reading a lot of things and I realized that people with heart problems, for example, should be able to be helped quite well with this.
Okay. It's amazing what it can do for heart problems. One of the things you can do is you can relax all of your blood vessels. So instead of pumping blood through with extra force, they open and they allow the blood to come through. So you reoxygenate your cells by relaxation instead of by exercise. So it's an internal opposite of exercise sort of thing. And so the blood pressure will then lower.
So I'm going to jump to an extreme here, which is that a lot of us in my age category, which shall remain secret, have a lot of dental history, for example. And so I'm thinking, is it the kind of system that will actually clear out some of that, the damage, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, and, you know, and toxicity kind of damage that comes from that?
Part of what you have in Qigong, there are a number of subsections. One of them is self-massage. And so there are a number of different kinds of massages, like tapping your gums.
Oh, okay.
That can help relax.
And how do you tap your gums?
You just
on
like
your cheeks?
Play piano on your gums.
Oh, really?
Just little fingertips on your gums, on your teeth.
A little like tapping your body and shaking
little tapping.
Your body.
Yeah, little taps. That's one of the things. And then one Qigong teacher, Dr. Wong in Seattle, he says that if you clash your teeth together 100 times every day, just like that, that really helps to strengthen the health of your teeth, because then what happens is all the teeth are in the same rhythm. Boom, 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 boom. So they line up, but it moves the lymph and stuck whatever out of the teeth. And it also energetically aligns them. And the way I think about it is if you have a jar full of rocks and maybe some sand, and it's all jumbled in there, if you shake that up and down 100 times, it
the
layers out
off.
And it sediments. And so so that it gets organized. And so by clenching your teeth together like that, not too hard, you organize the molecules, I guess. Organize the cells or whatever. Probably some energetic thing in the teeth. That's one way.
So an obvious question to jump to from that is, what about bacteria or viral things? Is obviously the teeth have bacteria around them, but does that the movement process, the constant shaking or whatever it is, the challenge, does that really help with things like bacteria?
Well, it doesn't. Qigong doesn't obviate the need for basic hygiene.
Right.
You know, we need to take care of ourselves.
I kind of didn't mean that. I mean, you know, we rush for antibiotics and so on. It's pretty dangerous not to go for those. You know, would you use Qigong in those cases?
Yeah. You do. Part of it is increasing the lymph flow, like we were talking about. You can actually increase your lymph flow by 10 or 20 times by doing Qigong.
Really?
A really good Qigong practice, you can increase it a lot. Some of this information I've gotten from the system called lymph drainage therapy, which Bruno Chicli, a Frenchman, put together. And I've applied it to Qigong about the lymph. And you can increase it amazingly. And they've also done experiments.
What is that kind of therapy? Is that a hands-on kind
of? It's what I was doing with you the other day where
you help
the lymph along like a little very soft squeegee just on top of the skin, stuck lymph. And it's amazing what can happen when you destagnate a place. One of the problems with body work is if you're working on a place and it's all stagnant in there, there's not much room for things to change. So you say you're doing a massage on a muscle or something, but if you can move that stagnancy out by getting the lymph to flow and drain, all of a sudden there's more room between the cells, and things can shift much more fully and much more quickly.
Is there a tie between your cranial sacral work and that lymph drainage?
Yeah, it's all tied together. They all support each other. So when you're doing cranial sacral work, it's light touch movements on the bones of the body and in the tissues of the body. And when you open a space or allow the body, encourage the body to open up a space, the lymph will flow better. The blood will flow better. The chi will flow better. But sometimes one thing works better than another. And that's why it's good to have lots of tools in the bag. Who knows which one works best? Sometimes I don't even do anything specific. I just try to connect to some deep, important energy and let that find its rhythm. Sometimes I do really specific things.
Find its rhythm. I think I remember this is kind of a pulse that comes with a healthy flow, with a healthy lymph system, isn't it?
Often when there's a release, there's some sort of pulse, and that you can feel that, and there's usually some sort of heat release also. And you can get these same experiences doing the Qigong practice.
What about things like autism or the brain? Okay, it seems to me what you're saying is the brain seems to be a natural place to expect huge results with all this stuff. We will go back to the physical practice, but I'm interested in how the lymph, if it's moving and clearing and detoxifying, doesn't that affect the brain really well?
A lot. I would love to see a lot more lymph work being done on the skull and in the brain.
Yeah, on the skull.
On the skull, under the skull, and in the brain, around the skull.
Have you ever worked on people with autism or Alzheimer's?
I haven't done that yet, but some people have, and they've had some results. I mean, there's still a lot of mysteries out there, but we're getting better. We're now starting to learn about MS, for instance, multiple sclerosis, and a lot of times moving stuck fluids, in particular, through the brain really helps the symptoms.
Well, so over in China, they've been doing these things for a long time, haven't they?
They have.
Do they have the same profile as we do over here of autism, ADD, Alzheimer's, and all of those things?
I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be an interesting study, wouldn't it?
Because when you're doing Chinese medicine, you define things completely different. They define things by different categories than we do in the West. You know, they would call autism some other syndrome based on yin and yang and the different elements. And that's how they would describe it so they'd know how to treat it. You know, maybe it's a heat disease. We don't think of it in those terms at all. They think of it more functionally. We just try to describe the symptoms.
So are you able to bring the Eastern stuff into the Western modalities of chiropractic quite easily? Or is it
well, that's what I've been working on doing for the last 20 years.
Great.
Trying to simplify it for my understanding as well as for the understanding of people I'm talking to. And the way you know someone understands it is to see if they get it in their body, not to see if they hear your words. So there's a lot of words out there that are just go over our heads. We don't absorb. We don't understand the context.
That we collect the information and we don't integrate it, right?
So like if I'm doing Qigong with you and I say, okay, now notice how your heart's tight. And you say, okay. And then I say, okay, now relax down into your belly. And then you don't know what I mean. I would have to find some other way to describe or to help you understand in a kinesthetic way, in a felt way, how to do that. And then when you do that, you feel it, I see it, and now you know it's true. Before it was a theory, it was an idea. So that's, I think, the way to do it. You simplify it in terms that anybody listening to you can understand, but you also make it real in the present moment.
That's really interesting. When you're setting up a daily practice, what do you recommend that people do? It's all about movement, right? And it's all about flow.
Well, find a class, a teacher, a book, a DVD, a YouTube video, and just start there.
There's a bunch of YouTube videos. Some of them are yours.
Yeah, some of them are mine, and there's a lot of neat ones. I've learned a lot of Qigong from books and from videos as well as from teachers and classes. And start where you can. And the basic idea is, okay, there's three primary principles.
Okay.
The first one is practice every day.
Right.
And so you set up something that you can do every day, 10 minutes of something for the
is
next 10
month. 10 minutes enough?
It's enough to start. It's a good place to start.
Okay.
Because the first thing you have to do is not go for quality, but to go for regularity. The first thing you need to do is create the habit that you're doing the practice.
Right.
And then you can do more. And you can set up practice sessions. And some days I do 10 minutes and some days I do 2 hours. I did an hour and 45 minutes today in three different things.
And what happens then? Do you feel refreshed and vital and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel energized. I feel loose. You know, I'm doing this Taoist yoga right now, using Qigong principles to stretch, and
so
my
what
shoulders feel great.
Taoist, yeah. Well, you look like you're very easy within your body. You don't look like a wrestler or a
right. Well, I was.
Football player.
I was a football player.
Yeah.
I was.
Yeah. Yeah, really. Do you miss that?
Football? Yeah, I miss football.
Really?
My body doesn't.
Yeah. So it's all about motion, though, isn't it?
It's all about motion.
Yeah.
It's about fluid, full body motion. One of the things we teach and practice in Qigong is using your whole body to do every movement. One of my teachers called it, use every joint of your body to move any joint.
Oh, interesting.
So a lot of times we move and we're just using part of ourselves. Mm-hmm. But here I am lifting my arm, and you can see it on the radio. But what if I lift my arm with everything in me? And that includes my organs, and that includes my
toes. Okay, let me try
toes.
That. So you're lifting your arm. I'm lifting my left arm, and I'm trying to feel what my legs and my feet feel like as I do that, right?
What's your other arm doing? What's your back doing? What's your spine doing?
Interesting.
Right there. There you got it. Yeah. What are your legs doing?
They're kind of talking to me.
Separate... Mm-hmm. It's like your arm is an autonomous object, and you just move it around, and that's the way to getting hurt.
So actually, that's a really simple thing that people can practice without even having studied yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another thing about moving energy. You can use sounds.
Right.
Are you willing to share sounds with our listeners? You got to pay attention to this one, because maybe you can duplicate some of these, but you can really feel the sound as it moves through the body.
Yeah, so... Just to preface this, there are a number of subtypes of Qigong.
Okay.
There's slow moving, there's doing forms, there's stretching, there's strengthening, there's meditating, there's massage, there's healing others. And one of the things that people sometimes do is healing sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a basic thing called the six healing sounds that you'll often find. Some people use eight sounds, some people use different sounds, but... The basic idea is you find a sound that creates a certain thing to happen. So these healing sounds are used to release tension, toxicities, and what's called bad qi out of the five main organs.
Because the sound drives the...
It vibrates it out.
Okay.
So let's say, so the first sound's a liver sound. When I do the sound, I want to pay attention to my liver.
Okay.
So I learn where the liver is.
Okay.
And then I... do the sound, and I want to feel, very good, I do the sound, I want to feel that liver actually vibrate a little bit, and kind of gently imagine that it's coming out of my right side and leaving my body,
okay.
This old bad qi, this old kind of smoky stuff. So the livers are actually, in our society, they really do a lot of work. There's so much for them to clean,
right.
So many pollutants, so many things in our systems. And so they always need clearing. So we'll do these six sounds. And I guess I could preface which one's which each time. So the first sound is the liver.
Okay.
So the liver sound that I like to do most.
And we're going to get everybody to do it too, so they'll repeat after you.
Yeah, you can go with me.
Okay.
So just try to feel in your liver.
All right.
So here's the sound.
And you direct the sound into the liver.
You direct the sound into the liver and feel the vibration. And the sound, I'll say it first, it's shu-u.
Shu-u.
And it sounds kind of like a lighthouse or a shu-u, that kind of sound.
Foghorn.
Foghorn, that's it. Shu-u.
Well, my body's just buzzing.
Yeah, already. So if you're feeling a little grumpy, do the shoo-oo sound.
And you do it right into the liver, which...
Yeah.
How's life depends on the liver. Remember that old thing?
It does. Another sound is for the heart.
Okay.
So the liver is, it follows a five element system. The liver is the wood, the heart's the fire. And these are the main five yin organs of the body. So the heart sound that I've been doing lately that I really like is a descending ha.
Ha.
And it goes like this. Ha.
Uh-huh.
Ha.
Do that once more. I didn't do it. You know, sure. The very first one, I was just holding my body. Hmm. I didn't let it flow, you know.
Yep, you learn how to let it flow and all the little tricks. There's a lot of little tricks.
Well, that's, I like that.
So it opens the mm-hmm. heart, and it also kind of draws the energy of the chest lower. I call it taking the down elevator.
Mm. It feels really good. It's making me yawn.
Yeah, so we can kind of remove like self-criticism and judgmentalism and that kind of stuff.
But you're not saying we have to be thinking all that, eh?
You just do it physically.
Do the sound and move it.
There's emotional
the
bits. There's energetic bits. There's memory bits. There's physical aspects to all these things.
Great. Okay.
I mean, we want our organs to be healthy, right? So right. This is one way. It's better than fasting.
Slowing.
Slowing, exactly. The next sound is for the digestive system, and this is usually called spleen in Chinese medicine, but they mean the stomach, the pancreas, the digestion, basically, also the spleen. And it's a deep guttural who.
Okay.
Ho. Ho. If that's hard, there's another fun one that's what I call the Scooby-Doo Monster Who. And that's...
Oh, great. I'll try that.
Some people like that one better.
Robert's website is called Fun with Qigong. This is it, isn't it?
Yeah, Fun with Qigong. We want to have fun. And probably the reason all those... people had to dress up like monsters was because their digestion was so off. They felt terrible.
Oh, yeah, I bet you, hey?
Yeah, so if they would have done these healing sounds, they wouldn't have had to be in some haunted house or something pretending to be a ghost or whatever.
Have you done them when you were feeling badly? In the
yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah, I'll often, if I'm not feeling quite right, I'll do these sounds. They're really good to do driving.
Mm-hmm.
There's some movements that go with the sounds, but you can also do them without the movements.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes I'll do them when I'm walking. It's like walking the dog really early in the morning. It's like, I think I'll just clear out my organs a little.
That's great.
And I'll walk and I'll do the sounds.
I like it.
The fourth sound is for the lungs, and the lung sound is a aspirated S. We'll do one more.
Boy, my arms and fingers are tingling like
yeah, that. The more energetically sensitive you are, the more you get this, the quicker you get this stuff.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Very exciting.
Good. And so that's cleared my lungs, even from old karmic stuff. Eh?
A little bit. You yeah. need to do a few more sounds.
Probably, eh?
So the next sound is for the kidneys.
Okay.
And the kidney sound that I like to do is tree, like tree.
Oh, tree.
And it's a vibrating, buzzing tree. And you to do it correctly, you'll actually hear the E sound in between your ears. You'll feel
oh,
it
really?
In between your ears.
Okay.
Much like one of those little Peruvian flutes. So here's how the tree sound. Feel it in the kidneys, but you also feel it in between your ears. Tree. 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 And there's a whole slew of information, if you want to know it, that goes along with each of those sounds and what each of the organs is about and the Chinese medicine conception. And it's one of the things I like about Qigong is you can take it simple and you can take it far. You still keep the simple. You grow on top of it and mm-hmm. you can get more and more complex with it and do more with it.
Mm-hmm. I love to get the complex.
And then there's one more sound, kind of completion sound, and this is a descending Shi.
She.
Very good for hot flashes, by the way.
Okay.
She.
Does that work with the brain as well?
Yeah, you imagine you're actually clearing from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. When you get to the low sound, you're at the bottom of the feet.
Great, okay.
And then you can even go farther and just into the earth.
Yay.
Sometimes I like to think of Wile E. Coyote falling down in the canyon after the roadrunner's been chasing him, and he goes, then he's really grounded. So that's what we're doing. We're getting the coyote out of our head.
Okay.
I've seen people's faces, they're like having a hot flash and their face will go from red to normal color in like five tries through the sound, five
wow.
reps. And one time a couple summers ago, I'd been stung by bees five times. And the fifth time, I wasn't feeling very good. And I think I was starting to get sensitive to bee venom. And then the day after I was stung, my wife and I were driving down the road to a family event on I-5, and my left side of my face just started getting really hot and uncomfortable.
Oh, wow.
I was driving, and I just took one hand, and I drew it down my face, and I did the Shi sound for 5 minutes, and then I felt fine.
Wow, that was the Shi descending sound that we just did.
Yes.
Wow, and you did your hand just down along your face, but about 2 inches out?
Yes.
Wow.
Down my face, about down to my lower neck, just to draw that extra, it's excess chi, it's excess yang energy, it's excess heat.
Hmm.
Draw that heat out to balance what was happening. And somehow my body understood that, interpreted what to do, what corrections to do, cellularly and neurologically and glandularly, and I was better.
Wow, that's really good to know. So, first of all, I want to ask you if those sounds are on your DVD.
Those sounds are not on my DVD.
You might want to put out a CD for us all.
I would love to do that.
I think that would be really helpful.
And a healing sound DVD would also be a great idea.
Yeah, especially when you can use it in the car. I like that idea a lot.
Just the Shi sound is on the DVD
mm-hmm.
as a general clear.
But we can still use that as a clear.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about medical Qigong. I've heard about this from a number of people. And you're giving a class on it soon, aren't you?
I'm going to have an introduction to using Qigong to heal others.
Okay.
Which is medical Qigong.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call medical Qigong, Qigong that you're doing on yourself to heal yourself, and they contrast that to martial Qigong, where you're doing Qigong to strengthen for martial arts,
mm-hmm.
or spiritual Qigong, where you're doing Qigong to be a better Buddhist or whatever.
What about to be a multidimensional character?
Well, I think then you just do it all.
Okay.
But what I call medical Qigong, what I learned, what I was trained in and have certificates in, is where you, yes, you learn to work on yourself, but you also work on other people. And that's the main idea of medical Qigong. So there's all these energetic techniques that are quite sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
Like Reiki is a wonderful energetic healing system. And medical Qigong is like college to Reiki's first grade.
Hmm.
And so there are many, many different aspects to it that you learn to work on people. And it's really fabulous.
Are you calling in and directing energies? Is that what you're doing?
You do. You direct energy. You clear energy where it's stuck. You add energy where it's limited. You balance energy between different places and in the whole body. There are many different techniques to do that. But the basic idea is you purge, you charge, and you balance. First, you clear where things are blocked. Then you energize where things are weak. And then you balance it all together.
So how do you decide where things are blocked? Are you very intuitive? You
learn how to feel it. You learn also how to notice what you're doing is working, what I call healing signs. So if you're doing something and somebody has a shift that you notice, like their breath changes, they close their eyes because all of a sudden they go deeper, heat gets released, these different things, but also what you feel in your own hands, they tell you you're doing it right. So it's a feedback thing.
It's funny, when you were working on me the other day, you said my bones, I have had a hip injury three times, same
yes.
hip. And you said the bone was harder. And what is it you said? That the bone feels, to your hands, the bone feels sort of subtly pliable or intuitively pliable or something, and mine was hard. Do you remember that?
Yeah. A healthy bone has a softness to it, a pliableness to it. It's strong, but it's not hard like a crystal, not hard like a skeleton bone, you know, in an anatomy class. And it won't feel right if it's stuck. The fluids aren't flowing. There are fluids in a bone. There's lymph, there's blood, there's white blood cells, red blood cells. And there's also...
marrow.
There's marrow, there's energy. And there's,
because it's alive,
there's
right?
piezoelectric energy, and it's which means the movement creates electricity. And so you learn how to feel, this isn't feeling right, what can I do to help it feel better? And when it feels better to me, it feels better to you. That shifted, and then something happens. Your back releases, you take a big breath, or you feel your toes differently. That tells me the energy is flowing better.
My whole body felt freer actually.
Yeah.
Especially that left hip, which is kind of sore sometimes. And that was very interesting to me. So who comes to you for medical Qigong, and how did you study it? Like, who taught it to you? Is something people can learn, or do you have to go to a great teacher and spend years in the Himalayas or something?
It depends upon how much you want. I learned it in a intensive series of seminars down in Monterey or Pacific Grove, actually, California, from a guy named Jerry Allen Johnson. And he's the one that's written the big textbooks on it. And he's a great healer and also a great martial artist, internal martial artist, and a really great teacher.
It's like when you say internal martial artists, you mean people who are working on getting command of their own organs, not just
martial arts. Yeah, the internal martial arts are much more about healing yourself while you're learning how to defend yourself.
Oh, okay.
And they're much healthier in general for people. Tai Chi is an internal martial art. So when people see Tai Chi, they don't know it's a martial art, these slow movements. But that's actually what you're learning. You're just learning them slowly, so you learn them well, which also is very, very good for your health. And many, many people who do medical Qigong and Chinese medicine also do internal martial arts.
Which is giving you an energetic power over yourself. And
it is. That's
how
what
you
you're really
energy
learning.
Flows.
How
yeah.
to work with yourself.
So can somebody come to you over a broken limb or something? Like, who comes?
I get so many different types of people. Yeah, a broken limb that's healing. You want some help?
Okay.
Somebody who is about to have surgery or had surgery. Somebody that has a scar of any era.
Oh, talk about scars. Yeah, that's so interesting.
Anytime you have a scar, that scar has stopped the energy flow, and it's pulling through the tissues, through the fascia, on other structures. That creates problem with those structures. So if that scar has not been worked on, it probably is doing that, no matter how old it is. And it can be released. It can cause all kinds of issues anywhere else in the body, no matter where the scar is, even a little one. But the major ones generally cause more stuff. And the scar is not just the scar that's on the surface, but more importantly, a scar that's internal.
Like appendix scar, tonsil scar, that
Absolutely.
Sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? Like
hysterectomies, C-sections.
Episiotomies?
Even? Everything.
Yeah.
Though I can't work on an episiotomy because of the state laws.
I betcha, yeah. It's probably wise for you anyway. Anyway.
Yeah, that has to be referred out.
Yes. but what I'm thinking of is, can that lead to heart constriction? Can it lead to low thyroid?
Absolutely.
What can it lead to? You just don't know which way.
You don't know. Everybody's different. Every situation is different. But yes, if the scar has not released, it's going to lead to problems.
Hmm.
It could be a tight head. It could be a tight lower back. It could be less function in your ovaries
mm-hmm.
or in your prostate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen all of these things.
How interesting. And so you recommend that people come for healing when they've got scars, simply.
Everybody that has scars should have them worked on by someone that knows how to do it.
Boy, is that something we don't know anything about.
Just like everybody that has a head should have some cranial sacral therapy, because everybody's bumped their head somewhere or another.
I love cranial sacral therapy, and we're almost out of time. I want you to talk about that. But that is one of the most rejuvenating tools as well, isn't it?
Just love the cranial work. I had so many head injuries growing up, and I didn't get cranial work till I was 30.
Wow.
At the first seminar that I went to, and I was just blown away by how much better I felt after I got that cranial work.
Mm-hmm. And cranial, tell people quickly what it is. It's moving the platelets of the skull, is it?
It's moving the plates of the skull using incredibly gentle pressure. Incredibly gentle touch. It's not pressure. So it's so safe to receive. And the reason it works is you relax. If someone does something that's not gentle, you kind of tense up a little bit, just naturally. If somebody takes your head and just yanks it to one side, trying to crack your neck, that doesn't make you want to relax. In craniosacral therapy, everything that you do is super gentle and relaxing, and so you go deep into the nervous system and deep into the history of who you are to start releasing.
Hmm.
And so,
it also trigger a flow of the spinal fluids and the lymphatics as well?
Oh, yeah. It triggers
so
all kinds
kind of
flows.
It's kind of similar. I mean, it's very related
yeah.
to what we're talking about with
Absolutely.
Qigong and so on. So you better give – we could talk to you for a lot longer, but we can't.
No,
time is up.
No, we're about out of time.
So if you would like to give your website and contact number possibly.
Sure.
And tell people about a class or two that are coming up.
You can go to my website, www.funwithqigong.com. And the Qigong is spelled Q-I-G-O-N-G, to find out about my classes. You can also sign up for my newsletter where I email what my upcoming classes are.
You got a great blog.
You can buy my DVD on Amazon.com.
Great.
It's
called Fun with Qigong.
It's just called Fun with Qigong. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing there that's fun with Qigong. Not serious with Qigong. And I have another website, which I talk a little bit about cranial work and stuff. And that's robertbateshealing.com.
Okay.
My phone number is 360-398-7466. And my email is rbbatesdc.dogcat. rbbatesdc@comcast.net. And upcoming classes, on the 26th of February, I'll have a 4-hour workshop introducing Qigong for healing others. And that's a Saturday, and after that, I'm going to have a 2-month class on Monday and Fridays at noon for Qigong for healing joints.
Excellent.
Joint movements, joint breathing.
Quick question, do you ever work with children?
Yeah, I work with kids.
I imagine kids could learn Qigong quite well.
You know, it's harder to do the Qigong with them, but I try to do a little bit with them,
mm-hmm.
and it depends upon what they can take, you know, how much they can go with it. Try to make it fun.
Yeah.
And if they can go with it, then it can make a really big difference depending upon what they have going on. I have one 10-year-old I'm working with who's been having seizures.
Oh,
and
my.
When we can get his liver cleared and get him breathing into his belly, which is called the Dantian lower belly, breathing into his kidneys, it really changes how he feels and creates distance between the seizures.
Oh, that's great.
So
and
we're
he
still
feels
exploring
more empowered.
That. He feels more empowered. He has something he can do.
And I think it's all about empowering oneself, isn't it? To have power over one's own well-being and health. Thank you so much for being here with us and inspiring a lot of us to know we can
pleasure.
Do it too. Thanks, Robert.
Mi piacere.
Yeah.
It's Italian.
Oh, okay. Are you Italian?
No, but I went to Italy and I learned mi piacere, which my pleasure.
It's great. It's my pleasure too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That was Robert Bates teaching us how to work with Qigong and how to work with cranial sacral medical Qigong and learn to take charge of ourselves and our health, a great way to defeat the high costs of medical over here and the invasions of it too, isn't it? Anyway, this is Veronica Entwistle. If you have any feedback, it's veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. If you have other suggestions of guests that you want to hear from, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, or even if you'd like a session with me or with Robert. Thank you so much for listening and being part of the community of Paradigm Shifters. Good night.